From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns will conclude his 12th message in a series expounding the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah. The title of the message is The Covenant of Redemption. We'll be hearing from Dr. Cairns shortly. Before he comes, please enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Not Forgotten. The text is Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 21. Thou art my servant, O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. Our Jehovah cannot so forget his servants as to cease to love them. He chose them not for a time, but forever. He knew what they would be when he called them into the divine family. He blots out their sins like a cloud, and we may be sure that he will not turn them out of doors for iniquities which he has blotted out. It would be blasphemy to imagine such a thing. He will not forget them so as to cease to think of them. One forgetful moment on the part of our God would be our ruin. Therefore, he says, Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. Men forget us. Those whom we have benefited turn against us. We have no abiding place in the fickle hearts of men. But God will never forget one of his true servants. He binds himself to us not by what we do for him, but by what he has done for us. We have been loved too long and bought at too great a price to be now forgotten. Jesus sees in us his soul's travail, and that he never can forget. The Father sees in us the spouse of his Son, and the Spirit sees in us his own effectual work. The Lord thinketh upon us. This day we shall be succored and sustained. Oh, that the Lord may never be forgotten of us. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, the Lord said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sin, and will heal their land." If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land and the apparent powerlessness of our churches cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in this urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, "A Humble Attempt to Promote Explicit Agreement and Visible Union of God's People in Extraordinary Prayer for the Revival of Religion and Advancement of Christ's Kingdom on Earth." Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seek it seriously. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message, Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. As Dr. Cairns continues this series of studies in Isaiah chapter 53, he brings the final portion of an exposition of verse 10. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. he hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. In considering the fruit of Christ's death, Isaiah wrote that the Father gave his Son specific promises regarding his obedience unto death. The first of those was, he shall see his seed, that is, Christ will have the people for whom he died. Secondly, he shall prolong his days, for he shall live forever. Finally, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. God's unfailing plan for the ages finds its full accomplishment in Christ. Now to conclude the message entitled, The Covenant of Redemption, here is Dr. Cairns.
The fruit of Christ's death. I have mentioned these three aspects of it many times already. Let me sum them up. He'll see his seed. You know, men have to beget their seed before they die. Never after. The Lord Jesus Christ died, and he begat his spiritual seed by dying and rising again from the dead. Didn't Peter say, he hath begotten us again unto a lively or living hope by the resurrection from the dead? He has a seed. Now that's a great theme in Scripture, a wonderful truth. Christ has the seed. What is this seed? These are the many sons that he's bringing to glory. It's true to say, in Trinitarian terms, the first person of the Trinity is the Father, the second person of the Trinity is the Son. But there is a line of reasoning in Scripture which in a spiritual sense refers to Christ as our Father. Now this is not in Trinitarian terms. It's not confusing his relationship with the Father, but he's saying he begat us to a lively hope. It's saying he is bringing us as his sons to glory. It's saying, in effect, that we owe our salvation to him. We are his spiritual seed. He shall see his seed. I want you to notice that. He'll see it. No doubt about it. There wasn't the slightest possibility of failure in the death of Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ has not been shed in vain. And this notion that God had his Son make a trespass offering, and somehow or other we can frustrate it all, and the blood of Christ would be shed in vain, and without success, is totally erroneous. It's a successful atonement. He'll see his seed. Let me give you a beautiful outline. I don't mind, you can go and preach it if you want somewhere. If it were mine, I would copyright it. But I have heard of a couple of ancient preachers who were said to have preached this, and I really, to this point, don't know who was the real author. But I believe it comes from the Lord. He'll see his seed. 4 points. He'll see them born and brought in. Bless God, he's going to see his seed regenerated and brought into the family of God. He'll see his seed educated and brought up. He'll see his seed supported and brought through. And finally, he'll see his seed glorified and brought home. He shall see his seed. Then he shall prolong his days. It's a way of saying he lived forever. There's no end to the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. Death spends the end of any other man's days, but did not spell the end of his days. For he rose from the dead. He defeated death. He abolished death. He brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And he shall live forever. Not only will he live forever, but he shall prolong his days. His days speak to me of the continuing mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they are forever prolonged. The Lord Jesus didn't cease to be the mediator when he died, rose, and ascended into heaven. Oh, he ceased to be humiliated. He's now exalted. But he's still the mediator. He's still our prophet to make known to us the will of God for our salvation by his word and spirit. He is still the priest, having offered up his once for all atoning sacrifice. He now presents his blood in heaven as he pleads our cause. Thank God he's still our king. Jesus reigns and shall reign forever and forever. You prolong his days. We need never get too worried about the success of the gospel. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood. I don't want you to think that I'm saying, well, the gospel's going to succeed. Whatever will be. We don't need to exert ourselves. I knew of a preacher who went to one of our churches back home. Thank God he'll never be again in a Free Presbyterian pulpit. Not only for this reason, but for many others. But this foolish character wanted to discourse on the great depths of God's predestinating purpose, etc., etc. And like the idiot he was, he went on to say, well now, God has planned it all. You don't need to pray. I wonder where he got that in the Bible. He certainly didn't get it in this Bible. God has planned it all, therefore you ought to pray. Prayer is not making our will prevail in heaven. Prayer is ensuring God's will prevails in us and in earth. God has planned it all, therefore you do need to preach. For it is God's plan to save sinners through the foolishness of preaching. Oh, he could send angels. He doesn't need preachers. But that's the way he planned it. That's the way he planned it. That he may have all the glory. If a great shining angel were to go through Greenville touching the elect and saving them, man, wouldn't everybody say, what a wonderful power that angel has. What a glorious being that angel is. But when God sets aside angels and takes poor, stumbling, faltering lips, poor, foolish men who are looked upon as idiotic because of their belief in the infallible scriptures by this old world and uses them, all the glory is of God and the honor belongs to him. Yes, I'm not saying you don't need to exert yourself. You do. But when you're making all your exertions and you're laboring as if it all depended on you, and that's the only way to labor, that's the only way to preach, as if it all depended on you. Spurgeon said, when I pray knowing that it all depends on God. But when I preach as if it all depended on me. But when you're doing that, and when you've done it, remember this. Have no worry that Jesus Christ will not succeed. Because I want to tell you, his days are prolonged. His blood must prevail. There is no end to the kingly rule of our Redeemer. And then finally, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Keep on saying that these are great themes. I'm raising giant issues that I simply say hello to and march on. But here is one. All the purpose of God, the entire purpose of God for all the ages will be
brought to a glorious and final and successful consummation in Jesus Christ. Turn over as we close to Ephesians 1. Verse 9 speaks at the end of his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. He has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. In order that, verse 10, in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. That he might gather together in one all things in Christ. That gather together in one is a long Greek word made up of two or three other words. And it means to sum up in one head. He will bring all things together under one head. If you want to know the meaning of the word, it's only used one other place in the New Testament. You'll find it in Romans chapter 13 and verse 9. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. All these things are comprehended. They are summed up. They are brought together under this one thing, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So we have it in Ephesians chapter 1. All things in heaven, all things in earth, are going to be drawn together in the great consummation of the eternal purpose of God. All these disparate elements, all these things which we cannot make sense of, all the things which seem to be running in different directions, all the multitude, the innumerable strands of God's dealings in heaven and in earth. He says, I'm going to bring them all together, consummate them, sum them up, comprehend them, bring them under one head, Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, when we finally see Jesus, we will see in him all God's wisdom, all God's power, all God's grace, all God's perfection, all God's dealings throughout all ages. We will see them all brought together, and the picture will be complete. And the Lamb will have all the glory as the full and final revelation of God, his purpose for all eternity. Here is the exaltation of the Lord indeed. I have labored to show you today, as the prophet goes into the depths of this exaltation, having taught that it's based on his death, he then goes to show us why it's based on his death. Because this death was died in pursuance of the covenant of redemption laid down from eternity. And because Christ fulfilled the condition of the covenant, he has entered into and will never be robbed of the glorious reward of the covenant in his person and in his body, which is his church, the fullness of him who filleth all in all. May God bless his word to all our hearts.
and indeed teaches much more of the glory of our covenant head and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.